As you and I have drifted apart, life doesn't mean a thing to me.
All right, welcome. I'd like to call the meeting to order for the Goleta Planning Commission. And if you would all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, if our clerk could do a roll call of the commission, please.
Commissioner Daniels.
Present.
Commissioner Fuller.
Present.
Commissioner Maynard.
Present.
Vice Chair Jenkins. Chair Onan.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, so at this point, we have an opportunity to speak to a public forum, which is the public's right to speak to any item that is in the jurisdiction of the city of the Goleta that is not on tonight's agenda. And we do have one speaker slip request. Mr. Vandeman.
Chair Onan, members of the Planning Commission, it came to my attention that we are proposing to put narrow sections into our wide roads. The county at one time had a standard road width for major arterials of 104 feet. There are new developments being planned which are going to narrow that down to 84 feet. The general plan does not have a standard. And when I inquired of the city, what is the standard for Cathedral Oaks, Turnpike, Hollis? What's the standard road width? The answer was, well, it depends. Well, I don't want something that depends, okay? And it shouldn't be just on today's traffic volumes. It should be based on some plan. We're going to plan this out someday. We're going to use up this road width. We're going to have traffic that's more than today's. So what I'd like the Planning Commission to do is to take this up as an issue and to require a minimum road width for the major arterials of 104 feet. If you go to Fairview, Patterson, most of the Cathedral Oaks, yeah, most of Hollister, except for Old Town, the road width is 104 feet. But now they're going to put in some narrow spots. And the county has the same rules. Up until the 80s, the road width was 104 feet, and then it got narrowed to 84. Well, that's not going to play. I mean, it's a nice idea if we could live with narrower roads, but I don't think it's going to happen. So I'd like you to take a look at that and establish a minimum road width for the highways that at least parallel the 101 in case the 101 gets bogged down, which has happened once. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bannerman. All right, so we've gone through our public forum. Do we have any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
We do not.
All right, so we'll go to our first item, which is the planning minutes. Madam Clerk, did you want to read that into the record, or do we need to?
Yes, Chair. It's the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of April 25th, 2016.
All right, so we had that included in our packet. Any comments or discussion on those minutes from anyone on the commission? Then by all means, we'll entertain a motion to approve those.
I'd like to make a motion.
Would you like those for approval, Mr. Daniels?
I would like this for approval, I'm sorry.
All right,
thank
you. We have a first. Mm-hmm. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right.
Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome. Any other discussion on those minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Looks unanimous. Were you aye as well, Mr. Daniels?
Yes.
Okay, so it looks unanimous. So we'll move through item A1, and let's go to our discussion action item for tonight, B1. And Madam Clerk, if you want to read that item into the record for us, please.
Item B1 is the general plan conformance findings for the capital improvement program fiscal year 2016 to 2017.
Thank you. And who will be leading us through this tonight? Ms. Wells?
I will. So as just stated, tonight's item is the annual general plan conformance finding for the capital improvement program, or the CIP that we call it, for this upcoming fiscal year 2016-2017, and that starts on July 1st and ends on June 30th, 2017. So as stated in the first bullet, the CIP is a budgeting and strategic planning tool that's used to assess the infrastructure needs of our community. And it addresses, the CIP addresses build out that's identified in our general plan, and the Public Works Department keeps the list of capital improvement programs. And then we work together in planning to make sure that that list is consistent or conforms with our general plan. So I wanted to give you an example of what that might look like. So let's say we have, we all know that there's a fire station that's included in a policy in the public facilities element for Western Goleta, because there's a need for a fire station in Western Goleta based on response times. Let's say that the CIP list had a fire station in Eastern Goleta. We would catch that, and we would talk about whether or not that conforms with the intent of the policy, and then we would reassess. We haven't had to do that. We do have a project in Western Goleta for a fire station, but I wanted to let you know kind of the context from which we're looking at the list of CIPs. We're also, another example might be, let's say, a road extension across Maria Ignacio Creek north of 101. It's not included in the list, so therefore it's not identified as something that's needed at this time to address build out. So we would sit down and take another crack at looking at projects. We haven't had to do that. I think because we have relatively recently prepared our general plan, because we were a new city, that everybody is pretty much on top of our general plan, and it's generally pretty current with addressing the needs of our build out. So I think we're in pretty good shape when it comes to working together at a staff level to make sure our CIP conforms with our general plan. So we did review the list, we meaning the Planning and Environmental Review Department and the Public Works Department. We sat down, looked at their list, and we did find them in conformance with the general plan. It was pretty easy to go through the conformity determination by looking at the policy, because a lot of the policies, the titles of them are exactly what the titles are of the projects. There's some pretty broad policies about sidewalks and bike paths, lighting for the bike paths. Like you'll see all of these things in our various elements of our general plan. I also wanted to make sure that it's understood that our request for you tonight isn't approving a project. It's just finding that there's a connection there between what the general plan is saying about a road improvement, let's say capacity improvement on Stork, and that we have a capacity improvement program in our CIP. You're not saying you have to have it in there because the general plan says it. We're coming to you saying, here's the list of CIPs, and do they or don't they align with the direction of the general plan? So project-specific approval occurs via a completely separate process with a different perspective on general plan conformity on a project-specific request. So this one is a little bit different, or a very, very much different than a discretionary action. Also, the Planning Commission is required to look at and make conformity determinations with your CIP, and that's under Section 65401 of the Government Code. It's not a long section, but it's very clear that connection must be made for our CIP. And the CIP will go to the City Council for adoption and approval as part of the budget when they see the budget this month or next month. Similar to last year, the staff report includes a resolution, and that is how you'll make your finding of conformity. And we also have a presentation. So we have a pretty long list of capital improvement projects. A lot of them, like I said, are bike paths and sidewalk infill. We've really ramped up the level of effort on crosswalks and those kinds of infrastructure improvements. And we'll walk you through the majority of those in this PowerPoint. Rosemary Gaglione is here tonight to give the presentation and, of course, knows pretty much everything about all of these projects. So with that, I'm going to turn over the PowerPoint to Ms. Gaglione.
Before we go to Ms. Gaglione, Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker slips?
Yes.
So with the commission's concurrence, I would like to allow the speakers to speak before we go through the full presentation. Then they have their option whether they stay for that presentation or not. Does that sound good to everyone? All right, so that's what we're going to do. I have two speaker slips for tonight's agenda. Doggone it. This is the first one is hard. Galer Macon? Is that even close?
It's close.
Okay. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing. And then followed by Ken Knight. So if you could tell me the correct way to pronounce that.
It's Galeray Macon.
Galeray. Thank you.
Chair Onan, members of the commission, I'm here representing John Lund. He's developing the site, Keysight 7A, and it is a industrial park, and it's in between future Equal and future Fowler. And we noticed on the capital improvement list that Fowler is listed as on hold. So we just wanted to get a little more information on that because it greatly impacts our project. So our questions are basically, when did it go on hold? How long do you anticipate it being on hold? And what would be the schedule? Is ECHO going to continue? Is ECHO going to continue without Fowler going through? Is the city still committed to building Fowler? A lot of questions on Fowler. And is the right-of-way acquisition going to proceed, even if Fowler is on hold on the design aspect? And what is the status of the airport issue with Fowler Road and the roundabout? Because I know there was some issues there. And then if there's a possibility, if our project moves forward, would there be an opportunity of like a joint cost sharing for the portion of Fowler Road that fronts on our project? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we'll hear from our next public speaker, and then we'll see if staff would like to respond at this time. So Mr. Knight, you're up.
Hi, my name's Ken Knight. I'm representing myself. I want to address a subject that might seem a little esoteric, that public trees aren't addressed comprehensively in the five-year capital improvements program. They're addressed as part of projects, but what we don't have is a overall view of trees. Now, the city doesn't view trees, public trees, as being capital assets. They have a lot of the characteristics of capital projects. They have a long life. They have costs that need to be dealt with and maintenance needs. But there's two different aspects about public trees, and one is that while they do have benefits and quantifiable benefits, usually those benefits aren't identified publicly. They're not. And the second thing is the trees appreciate in value, whereas capital assets depreciate. For those reasons, they usually don't show up on public financing statements, and as a consequence, they're generally ignored. And the reason I'm here today is I did a study about 8 years ago now and used the city of Goleta as an example in which it showed that there is a possibility of developing a hybrid capital asset approach to planning for taking care of trees. And I encourage you to take a look at that. I think I can pass that along to you if you haven't seen it. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to encourage the Planning Commission to coordinate with the Public Works Department, because right now there's an urban forest management plan update taking place. I don't think the Planning Commission has been involved in that. I don't even know if you have reviewed the urban forest management plan that was approved by the council back in 2011. I encourage you to do so, and I encourage you to get involved in looking at the possibility of incorporating trees as capital assets in a hybrid capital asset format. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Knight.
Mr. Knight, could you please give the document that you talked about to staff, please, so we can have it?
I have a copy of it. I think I can get it to you electronically.
Please.
All right. Thank you.
All right, so back to staff to see if they would like to address any of the issues that were just brought up by members of the public.
Yes, thank you, Chair Onan. As far as trees, I think whether or not they're a capital asset, I don't know. They're not infrastructure, not denying the importance, but and in terms of the CIP, unless we had a massive planting project, they wouldn't show up in this list now. But the PTAC is finishing up revisions to the UFMP, and then that will be going forward to council. So I just think that's probably a discussion for a different venue or another time.
It's really interesting because what you said, that a massive planting or a project, but yet it's a constant project. I mean, trees have lifespans, mm-hmm. And we should be not only looking to initiate the planting of trees, but to looking at when they should be removed and replaced, either to prevent damage or disease or those other kind of things. And I did read Mr. Knight's information, and it does strike you when we realize, wait a minute, that is a huge asset within this community, and yet we don't have a plan, a committed plan, how we tend to them, but the plan should be even greater than that. And that is a constant capital investment in that asset.
It absolutely is, but it separate from a capital improvement project, it is an ongoing maintenance issue. And so a project would be, we have some areas where we have some very old trees, and they have uplifted sidewalks, and we've removed sidewalks, and we've trimmed roots, and we will likely be developing a project in the near future to remove some of those trees and plant new ones. And we'd, of course, have to do a lot of public outreach on that with the neighborhood and everything. But when it got to that point where you're going to go ahead and do a removal of trees to be replaced, then that would be a project that we would be bringing forward in the CIP list. This is not to downplay the importance of the urban forest or any of our trees. I mean, they really help make our city what it is. They're very important. And just let me say that, extremely important. But that's more of a maintenance activity, unless we get, as I said, to a replanting project. Even our trimming, and we have an arborist, a contract arborist, and we inspect the trees and they're maintained. But that's actually a maintenance activity.
I would like to debate you on that one, but don't we have a butterfly management program in our capital improvement plan?
We do have a butterfly program, but some of the reason that's in there is because there's a lot of trail work and fencing, and there's infrastructure that's associated with it. There's different kinds of strategies to deal with creek crossings and things like that. So there's a lot of physical work that's entailed. And I think what Ms. Gaglione was saying is there's a lot of plans for our urban forest, and there's committees, and they get a lot of attention outside of the Planning Commission realm. And there's a lot of programs for trees. I think what she was saying about the projects, like the sidewalk project, so you do see them in the capital improvement program list, because the trees are, but they're not, it's a sidewalk project that is driven, maybe the project is driven because of the roots of the trees and the replacement need. So that the projects that are tree specific for the urban forest are going to through a different process and that's the attention it's getting because of the direction that we've been given by, I think, the city council.
Yeah. Commissioner Maynard?
What did you say the date was for the new, the release of the new urban forest master plan? It sounded like there's one revision happening currently.
I can't give you an exact date, but the Public Tree Advisory Committee is almost done with their review. And then we're going to take all of their comments and put them into a clean document that they will take another pass through, and then that will go to council. And it definitely that'll be wrapped up in the next 6 months, but I can't give you an exact date before that. It's very close. And that's, and I think we're also talking about like capital asset versus capital program, improvement program. So it's a little bit of a different thing.
I'm just also imagining that when that master plan is completed, some projects may evolve out of the completed master plan because we might know what needs to happen moving forward.
Yeah, and it'll probably be more that things that, you know, things we do will be in accordance with that master plan. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But will we be using maintenance dollars rather than capital expenditures? I think that's a little bit of what this discussion is about, is, you know, because obviously maintenance dollars are a difficult and a varying funding decision.
Mm-hmm.
Capital investment is viewed a little differently. And if we say that we, out of this thing, we realize that we need to replace a number of these aging trees. Mm-hmm. It would be a multiple year project. Would that be done with maintenance dollars, or would it be done with capital expenditures?
I think there's a certain amount of money that's available, and decisions will have to be made at budget time versus how much. Probably it would be removal of trees would probably be out of maintenance dollars. There's not a separate pot of money where the capital suddenly comes from. I mean, we're able to get a lot of grants for infrastructure. I don't know what's out there for trees. So it'll just be a matter of how council, you know, wants to divide things, how our finance director wants to lay that out. I think it's six of one, half dozen of the other. It's likely to be general fund money for a lot, except for in roadway along the roads, there may be some things that, you know, those maintenance monies or those funding sources can go for.
Okay. Well, I'll let that go now.
Okay.
So did you have any comments on the other speaker regarding Fowler?
Yes. So the California Transportation Commission has moved Fowler out beyond the five-year STIP. And so what that means is there's not a definite funding source from the STIP that's promised at this time. Equal is going forward. I'll get to some funding issues in Equal when I talk about Equal. In terms of Fowler Road and the RPZ, the Runway Protection Zone, council approved pulling off of that for now, given that we don't have the funding, and that as difficult as it is to build something in the RPZ, it might be more difficult in the future. The study might need to be refreshed anyway at that time. We are looking at the possibility of whether or not Fowler would just go perhaps to technology. I think there's still opportunity for discussion. I can't commit the city here, but I won't say that it's a dead deal or it's the door is closed or anything like that. That helps. At this point, right-of-way acquisition is going forward, but we could meet on, things that are more pertinent to the project, we could meet on, so we could bring the project managers in and everybody together and discuss with you folks what it might mean for you and what we might be able to do.
Great. Commissioner Maynard.
I was also outreached to by Environmental Defense Center, and they were curious about that project as well. I was curious where that project is also in terms of the environmental impact reports, and has that part been approved? Could you just tell us a little bit about where we are in the process?
Well, yeah, the Equal Fowler project an EIR approved. Mm-hmm. So depending on where the funding falls, mm-hmm. and I don't know if there's anything mm-hmm. that needs to be refreshed okay. or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The project still needs to get a permit from the Coastal mm-hmm. Commission. So, I mean, it okay. still has to be all of the other permits still apply.
Okay.
I mean,
so the so I know it appears three times in our report today because there's the Eckler extension, the Fowler extension, but we've done the IRs for all three of those components.
Eckler-Fowler was one project, okay. and so there was one EIR that covered everything.
Okay, thank you very much.
And that was November 2011.
Thank you very much. Larry, this is before I was on Planning Commission, so I'm catching up as okay. I get questions from the public. Thank you for the update.
Sure.
All right, Ms. Gaglione, we're going back to you to do your presentation.
All right, well, thank you very much. So the following projects are going into the construction phase this fiscal year. So the path lighting project at the Boys and Girls Club. So what we have there is we want to provide the safest pathway possible from Hollister Avenue back to the Boys and Girls Club. So we're repairing the pathway, removing any areas that you know, have holes and broken up. We're going to remove the existing fencing because that's a very long pathway to be in. If someone wanted to escape the pathway, it's much better if we don't have all that fencing keeping folks in. So all they have to do is get to the end of the building and they're out. And installing lighting and replacing some of those parking chocks that are broken up there in that front parking lot. So this construction contract's already been awarded, so construction will happen this summer. Rio Ignacio path lighting. So the county had a project to install lighting along the bike path until it got there to Hollister Avenue. That bridge is ours, so we're going to go ahead, and we got some Measure 8 grant money. We're installing path lighting to complete that project. It's solar lighting. A contract's been awarded, so construction will be this summer. Evergreen Park tennis court resurfacing. Once again, that contract has been awarded, and work will be done this summer. We have a surface that it was asphalt covering on concrete slab, and at the joints of the slab, it just started to sort of pucker. And so we're going ahead and removing all of that and putting in new fencing. The court will be USA blue with green fencing around there. So. That has also been awarded. Hollister Avenue crosswalk enhancements at the Goleta Valley Community Center. That's the installation of a hawk signal. That's the high intensity activated crosswalk. You can see here the crosswalk is being moved over. What we wanted to do is have folks not step out from in front of the bus to cross the street, have them step behind the bus so they're more visible to drivers. That project is Highway Safety Improvement Program funding, and that's currently out to bid now. Hollister Avenue crosswalk enhancements at Orange, that's also out to bid now. That will replace the old flashing beacon out there with the rectangular rapid flashing beacons that has the strobe very hard to get used to. You know, so it tends to keep driver attention. The old lights, you know, probably people notice them 12% of the time after a year. Were these others because they remind you of the lights on a police car, you you tend to pay attention to them. So that is also out to bid. The Hollister Avenue Class 1 bikeway, that's in the final design phase. I forget if it's the 7th or the 21st, staff will be doing an update to the City Council on what some of the final design elements are, and then that will go out to bid. That will construction will begin this fall. So that is taking from Pacific Oaks Road Class 1 bike path to Elwood Elementary School. Magnolia Avenue sidewalk infill south of Hollister. So there's an area. It seems really simple, like it shouldn't be a project. You know, just fix the sidewalk. But there's a lot of grades to catch and drainage issues. So we actually need to design that out, and that's an area where we also have a tree that the roots are causing some problems. So seems real simple, but just a little more involved than that. Cathedral Oaks landscaping enhancements, that project will be done this fall. That'll go out to bid. Now, projects that are in the engineering, design, or planning phase. So our bicycle and pedestrian master plan, we do have a consultant now, and we'll be getting the word out to start public outreach this summer, which should be pretty exciting, I think. Our last interim bicycle transportation plan, 2005, and then we amended it in 2009, but never really had that robust outreach to create a plan. The Hollister Avenue redesign project, this has morphed into the Complete Streets project, the one that we got the Tiger Grant for. So looking at, we're reviewing proposals now, and we'll bring a recommendation to council for award. This is looking at what does it take to create a two-lane Hollister in the future, because we know there are things that will have to happen. And the outcome of this study is going to be a list of things. What can we do in the short term? What are projects that are in the interim? And then what do we need to do to get to that ultimate goal, which is going to be there's a lot of things that will have to happen to be able to offload some of that traffic and allow that to be handled in other areas. So that's pretty exciting, and probably late this summer we'll begin public outreach. So the Equal Extension project, it's really great when gas prices go down and we can save some money, and all the electric cars are great and the hybrids, except when you're not collecting, the state isn't collecting enough gas tax revenue. They had to cut over $750 million out of the STIP. So there were a lot of projects that were actually deleted, and some of these were shovel-ready projects. We were able to keep, with SBCAG's help, keep this project in the STIP. They have moved this into fiscal year 19-20. Within the next 6 months, it is possible that there is another funding source that will fill the gap. So there are proposals to increase the vehicle licensing fee. There's different proposals out there to try to make the STIP whole. And if that happens, then we'll be able to move the project back up. We are continuing with design and right-of-way acquisition and everything else as though nothing has changed, because we may still be able to build this project sooner. And there are also possibilities for doing advanced construction, and getting the money when the CTC has programmed it. So a lot of things to still look at. This does have to get Coastal Commission approval. So even though we have the EIR, we have, I think, all but the Water Quality Control Board permit. Even though we have all those, we still have to get the Coastal Commission approval. And our Hollister Avenue Bridge replacement, this would be done along with the Equal project now, just because the bridge deck has been skewed, the design has been skewed to match up with the roundabouts. And we also wanted to do one project so we don't have the public driving through construction zone for 4 years. You know, we'd rather have it done all at one time and minimize those impacts. So while we're looking at what could be done if we needed to replace this bridge sooner than 19-20, we're looking at that. But our hope is that there will be a way to get the Equal and the roundabouts built sooner, so that we don't have to do that, and this will still be built at the same time. Fire Station 10, so the design work has begun, and there have been a number of meetings with the design team and the county. Our Old Town Sidewalk Infill Project, that's an ATP grant, Active Transportation Grant Program project, and the next phase of design and public outreach, everything's going to begin after July 1, and that's because with this funding source, we don't have approval to use that money until after July 1. It's well over $2 million. And none of the matching, none of the other work we would do would count towards the match for that until after July 1. So that's when we will reboot design. There's going to be a lot of public outreach. There will be a number of council meetings on this because there are a number of issues to be vetted and get some policy direction from council. Ward Memorial Class D bike lanes, that is in design. That will go ahead and make sure that we have Class D bike lanes all the way down Ward Drive to the Auburn bike trail. And there is some sidewalk that will be installed as well. That will complete design the end of the summer. rapid rectangular flashing beacons at Chapel. We did have, we've had a lot of requests to improve this crosswalk, and so we were able to get Highway Safety Improvement Program grant to do this. We'll make upgrades to striping and signage and install these rectangular rapid flashing beacons. Those will begin design this summer. The funding for construction is in 17-18. Also, we're going to put a hawk at Kingston, Kyrie Isle at Kingston, and that's also part of that Highway Safety Improvement Program grant. We will begin our design in late summer, and the construction funds will be available in 17-18. Old Town Park is it's in the final stages of design. Of course, construction can't be initiated until other things are resolved, but design is moving forward. Elwood Trails and restoration design. So this is cleaning up, doing trail maintenance management, some drainage, landscaping, and that's in design now. Lake Los Carneros aeration project. Now this is something that was recommended in the master plan. We've held off so far because when the drought hit and lake levels got really low, we were advised that given the fact there was no temperature stratification, it became all one temperature, that if we aerated, we actually created more problems. So we backed off on that. But this is still a project. It just hasn't been being pursued actively given the drought. The 101 overcrossing there in Western Goleta, that's going to reboot this summer. We're going to go ahead and bring a recommendation for award for a contract to council to go ahead and we've got the feasibility analysis and the preliminary engineering done. We've got a project study report in a good draft form. And what we have to do is engage Caltrans with the project study report and begin the environmental document. And while we're moving forward, we will also be looking at grant opportunities to apply for grant funding for the rest of the project. This is the only listed project that Goleta has in Measure A. I mean, specifically called out as a project. La Patera Road, undercrossing or overcrossing, yet to be determined. We have a consultant doing a feasibility analysis now, and when that's completed, we will bring that to council. So we don't know what the exact alignment or whether going under or over is the best way. San Jose Creek Bike Path, the middle extent. So we broke this up in two segments. And segment one goes right alongside the park, and that is the design is almost completed. We just have some right-of-way work to do. And then the second segment of this goes from the park and goes under the railroad and under 101 up to Kyrie Isle. So that one has a little more design work to do. We separated them because the one that goes along from Armidos Park down to Hollister can be built early, and it will have independent utility, and kids can go ahead and use that. The kids that live there can get to the park using the trail. Now, San Jose Creek Bike Path Southern Extent, Caltrans is beginning their design to replace the bridge that carries 217 over San Jose Creek. So we're working with them. We're going to have to enter into a cooperative agreement to allow us to have them consider adding enough width to this new bridge to go ahead and carry a Class 1 bike path and allow that path to get off at Sandspit. So it's... Caltrans schedule will drive this project schedule. This is something that when we realized the bridge had to be widened, we didn't have funding for, $6 or $8 million to do the bridge work just for the bike path. But they have to replace the bridge, and so it's a good chance to work together on this. So Fairview Avenue sidewalk improvements at Stowe Canyon. So this is Fairview Gardens. And we're going to go ahead. We got some Measure A grant funding to build a sidewalk, and that'll be nice. That money will be available in 17-18. Fairview Avenue, Acaya Real, and 101 intersection sidewalk infill. So you probably know there's a section of Fairview Avenue as you go around that curve where the sidewalk was removed. And so what we want to do is go ahead and rebuild this sidewalk, close this down, put up fencing and get folks to go ahead to use the signal, you know, and come around and use a sidewalk. We've looked at a lot of different things to keep people from running across the street. And there really isn't, I mean, we can't put a crosswalk there. So it's with sight distance issues and the proximity to the signal, this is actually the best, I think the best solution that we have. Kyriel sidewalk infill, Apatera Lane to Los Caneros Road, another new one. This is Measure A grant funding. We're reviewing, of course, the Los Caneros master plan. But this is, right now, people are walking on, you know, the grass shoulder up here. And we're trying to look to see if we can grade that and put up a permeable material that folks will be able to have a walking path that we don't have to constantly mow. And so no one has to walk in the bike lane. But there is at one point a little bit of some sort of retaining structure that will need to be put in. So we have to make sure we follow all the rules before we do that. South La Patera sidewalk infill and Class 2 bike lanes. This is the roadway leading up to the train depot. And we want to get good sidewalk on both sides, Class 2 bike lanes on both sides to make it easy for folks to go ahead and walk down and catch the train. We're applying for grant funding for this. But this is important, especially as the city wants to move forward with a good depot and a nice place for people to be dropped off with commuter rail. Cathedral Oaks Class 1 bike path, we've done a little bit of preliminary engineering, but this is one we're looking for grant funding to go ahead and complete that. That's an important part of our bike system.
So, Chair and Commission, if I can close this presentation with saying that these projects and a couple other ones that we just didn't include in the presentation are necessary to serve the build-out from our general plan. And so you see a pretty robust list of projects for bikes and pedestrians, for crosswalks for safety, and some road projects, parks, and park improvement projects to accommodate new users at our existing facilities. Those are the kinds of things that we're presenting to you today, along with the general plan policies that correspond to the projects. So that's all in your packet in the resolution, and we will leave you with the recommendation, unless the planning director has something to add.
All right, so we'll go to the commission. Do you have any questions for staff? Go ahead, Commissioner Maynard.
Just one clarification, which I think I understand basically on an earlier presentation, but I wanted to make sure. So where it lists the general plan policies in the last column here, this is just to show where the need is. Other general plan policies would also be consulted when specifics of the project would be looked into. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fuller?
Just one project I wanted a little clarification on, if I could. 9044/R15, widening Stork west of Glenanny Road. Do we just have a lot of construction in that area?
just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So what are we doing that we didn't do when all that construction was going on?
There is a large transmission pole that needs to be undergrounded.
The new transmission pole?
The giant
mast
one, yeah. There's a large that's been out there for since I've been here.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice it until the project was...
Yeah, no, that's not new. And so we're working with Edison to get that moved, and the city will then do our project, which is to widen Hollister from Glenanny Road to 280 feet west.
So it'll be wider in there even than it is now?
Well, it will match up.
Oh.
So it'll just match up. Because right now it kind of moves in where West Star is, and the whole thing, it'll all line
and,
up.
It moves in to allow for the pole.
Yes, right. That's correct.
Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Daniels, anything from you?
Just for the Public Works Director, I appreciate the easy to read PowerPoint maps. They're very good, and I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And I do have a question on the Hollister Bridge replacement, which is now pushed back. That's the first time I've heard that. What does that do to the FEMA mapping? Is there an impact there? I mean, is it going to change that?
Well, it could delay that. Mm. So if the now right now the flood pattern has already improved greatly. I mean, for almost all of the properties down along Kellogg, they're pretty much out of the flood zone. Then there are some little pockets, but it's probably 95% improvement just with what we've done. But yes, we won't actually get the letter of map revision until that bridge is replaced.
Oh.
And so that's why I say we're working to see, I've got the designers looking to see, well, if we had to, what could we do early? And the other thing is looking at is if there is a way to still, there's an allowance under, I think, AB 3090, where you can try to get funding 2 years in advance. So if there's a definite, the funding is promised in 1920, there's a potential of requesting advance construction, which means, of course, it would mean the city fronting the money, but it could still be built in 1718. And then we get the money in 1920. So these are all things we have to bring to the council. We have to vet whether or not, you know, how would that work. But there are opportunities out there, potentially. And I think if there's a way to speed things up, we're of course going to look at that. And we're going to bring council all of these options. And it may be the CTC might not entertain those if the gas tax situation doesn't get better real quick. They might not want to commit too much, you know, that far into the future. You still have to get, you know, they still have to agree with you doing that advanced construction. So we haven't given up the fight by any means, and we're looking at ways. That's why we're not slowing down, you know, with the design and permitting. And we're going to do everything we can to deliver both of these projects well before 1920. I mean, we're going to try to get them in 1718 if at all possible.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the funding for the bridge replacement is you got Caltrans money for the bridge replacement, and we have money from the old RDA financing to deal with that. So
no.
The funding of this is tied to the Equal project?
No,
or just
actually, that's a good clarification. It's nothing to do with the old RDA funding. We have Highway Bridge Program money, so really the bridge is almost 90% covered by Highway Bridge Program money. So we're only, you know, putting in 10-11%. So, and that's a different funding source that is not in jeopardy. That's locked in. And so it's just that we, as I said, we didn't want to put the public through twice as long of a construction period. We sort of wanted to, it's kind of like ripping the Band-Aid off fast. We're trying to do it all at one time. There's the potential for doing the bridge first. It would just probably look very funky for a short bit, and it would impact the traveling public longer. So, as I said, if we can move everything forward, if we can get Equal move forward, we'll do that.
Well, I just comment that part of the motivation in the general plan for the work that occurred in San Jose Creek was motivation to change the flood maps and change the requirement for flood insurance in those areas so that Old Town could go to the next step of evolution or to aid that process. And to hear this be pushed back to coincide with I'll just make my comment that I would strongly want to look at the option of proceeding with that project because of its impacts that will be, we've got the channel widened, we've got everything else done except for the bridge, and if FEMA won't remap until that point, everybody's paying that now useless flood insurance. So it's an important project that we look at every opportunity to finish, even if it looks a little weird.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so any other comments from the commission, or do we have a motion to accept the recommendation.
Just one comment?
Sure.
You mentioned 1920. Is that 2020 or? 1920.
2019, 2020, fiscal year. So in the summer, okay. Summer of 2019, if nothing else changes.
I see. That's what 1920 is.
It's, right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any motion from commission on the staff recommendation and the resolution that accompanies that?
Sure. I motion to adopt resolution number 16, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, finding the fiscal year 2016-2017 capital improvement program is in conformance with the Goleta General Plan, Coastal Land Use Plan, pursuant to Section 65401 of the Government Code.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion?
No, thank you.
Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That looks unanimous to me, so we won't look for the outliers on that one.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So that goes through our discussion action item. We have the director's report.
Thank you, Chair. So you've had the Kenwood EIR is out for mm-hmm. circulation. Many of you have it in, a couple of you have it in front of you, or many of you have it in front of you. Excellent reading. And so that's our latest EIR out on the street. We expect to have at least one more in summer. A time for the Heritage Ridge project, that's moving forward as well. We recently had an ordinance subcommittee meeting last week to discuss, give the committee members an update on the zoning ordinance and where we are. And they were very pleased with our progress to date and that the Planning Commission's finished their first page read. What they did let us know is that, I should take a step back. After the commission finished the page read, we got a number of additional large comment letters that came in. We have over 250 pages worth of comment letters from groups like the Chamber, the Coastal Housing Coalition, the Board of Realtors, numerous different groups. And so we're taking our time going through those as well. And the subcommittee wanted us to make sure that we have enough time to really make sure all the comments are explored and enough time to produce the public hearing draft that we had talked about. And that will, we were aiming for June. It may take us a little bit longer. And there was some concern about releasing it right at the beginning of summer. So we may take that extra time to make sure that we're walking through it and that it's as good as it can be before we actually release it. So it may be pushed out a month or two, but it will be this year, and it will be before the end of summer, ideally. But it was actually a really good meeting. They did hear from some members of the public, and those members of the public were positive. So we're getting there, slowly but surely. And we're just looking forward to having this done because so much of what we're doing in the city hinges upon getting this ordinance in place. Because then we could start the permit tracking system, and then we can do this, and then we could do that. But while we're working on the public hearing draft, we will have other ordinance processes moving forward, like those issues that we pulled from the overall zoning ordinance, including wireless. We have a separate historic preservation effort that will be getting underway, and that will be project managed by Lisa Prossy. Our current planning manager will give Ann a little bit of a break and focus while she's working on the overall zoning ordinance. So we're really looking forward to all of that work happening this summer. So that's all. We have a lack of items right now to bring to you. We do have some that have just come in. So we may end up canceling next week or the next meeting, and we'll let you know what we expect. We're going to sit down and look at all those applications and see what we have on the schedule coming forward.
Is that June 9th? Is that?
2 weeks from today, yes. But I'll have Wendy send an email out and let you know for sure.
No, that must be June 6th. No. June 13th. Second.
Yes.
The second, yeah, okay. Commissioner?
If I may, Director, Is there any update on the cellular antenna on Cathedral Oaks that you can speak or comment?
No, there isn't. They have not resubmitted. We have heard that they may want to move it, but they have not resubmitted new plans.
Okay, and their current plan has been pulled, so by them voluntarily, is that correct?
I don't believe it's actually been withdrawn, but the time limits that we had talked about do not apply.
Okay, so they've agreed to waive the time limit?
No, it actually, that particular piece of legislation does not apply to that project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, any other commissioner comments? I will make a quick comment that I went on an electric bike tour. Maybe you all got that email from SBCAG or the Traffic Solutions, and they did an electric bike tour of some of the Goleta bike path facilities, and it was a chance to ride an electric bike. And it was interesting how important those pathways may become, as important as they are now. An electric bike may be a real game changer as far as it becoming a transportation tool for people who are, you know, not also using it for fitness and those kind of things. That was a very good experience. We had two council people on the ride as well. Mm. All right, so do we have any other things for the good? Nope. Then this meeting's adjourned.